Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to everyone. This is Preacher Bill, Gospel Hour Message. Glad you're here this morning. This morning's message that I have for you is we will be together again one day, and it's from Ezekiel 37. We're going to read through 1 through 28. Verses 1 through 28. So if you go find Ezekiel 37 in the Old Testament, it's near the end of the Old Testament, do that. And then when we come back, we'll do the prayer. But before we even get started this morning, I want to play a song for you while everybody's getting their place in the Bible and scriptures. And then, like I said, when we come back, we'll do prayer. My hope is built on nothing less. Okay, like I said, we're going to be in Ezekiel 37, so if you hold your finger there, I'll get to that as soon as I'm done with the prayer request this morning. We have unspokens and then some others. So before we go to all of that, I want you to know, folks, that the Lord loves you and he wants you here to hear the word. There's a reason for this. There are days that I want to give up. I don't want to do this some days, and it's my selfish needs of wanting to make time for my own stuff. But, you know, our hope is in Jesus Christ. And if we don't have that hope, if we don't study, if we don't read, if we don't find the time to invest in Christ, why should he invest in us? Okay? So this morning's prayer request, Tina Saxton, Peggy Barrow, Cindy Molina, a couple others have asked for unspoken requests. Okay? So we have a request from Cindy Molina. For Jesse Hughes McNally, who's going through chemo treatment, a very frail woman, please pray for Jesse. Sandy Washer, always sending in prayer requests, like I said last week. She's asking for prayer for Patty G's family. Her dad passed away this week, so I'm sure they're going through a tough time right now. Pray for Ruby as she struggles with her dementia. Pray for Stacy S. for her overall health and finances. Richard with stomach cancer and treatment. The Floyd family has their six-month-old baby boy. His Lincoln, he passed away this week also. You see, folks, it's a sad world we live in. But when you have hope in Jesus Christ, if you're born again, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll know that you're going to go to heaven. And I use that term, born again, for a reason. Because our old self needs to be dead in our trespasses and sins. We have to change the way we think. We have to change the way we live. We have to stop following the old idols. We have to start living for Jesus Christ. Those people that have passed, the baby especially, I know is in the hands of Jesus today. Okay? So I can say that with hope and faith and belief. And that's part of this message this morning. Stacy Ross asked for prayers for family whose son was lost in the river this past week. Last weekend, I believe it was. I'm not positive of the exact day. But two little boys fell in the river. One of them was saved. The other one went downstream. Nobody knows where he is right now. But you know something? Even though we don't, the Lord knows exactly where he is. He's walking in heaven with him. Amen. I ask you to pray for those people that are in the military. Pray for the families that are involved in all of that. The soldiers that are over there and the families here going without their spouses. And I ask you to pray for a sheriff who was shot here and killed. This is happening a lot too often nowadays in our society where police officers are being killed. They're caught up in things in the streets where the drugs are out of control. So we need to pray for our families, for our societies as well. Pray for your preachers. Pray for those that are preaching to you because you know something, folks? They're taking time out of their life to find the word to give to you so that you can understand it. They want you to have the proper understanding. So pray for us. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Father, we ask for all these prayers to be lifted up to you, that we wouldn't forget them throughout our day. And there's so many others, Lord. We know there's more. We know there are because we've seen them through the week. But for now, this morning, Father, we just ask that you hear our prayers this morning and hear our hearts and teach us the word this morning. God bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I said to you that I would get into the message, and that's just what we're going to do. I want to go over to Ezekiel 37, verse 1. Right in the beginning, I'm going to read this, and then we're going to get into my message. I said when I posted it, it might go into next week, and it probably will because it's a long one. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. See, Ezekiel knew that the Lord could do anything. These bones that he's talking about, these are the dead bodies that were between the two valleys, they were in the valley. Between two big hills, and I'll get into that with the message when we get to. But I want you to think of this. These dry bones, consider this. I'm preaching to people, and I'm talking to people about the gospel all the time. They're so dry in their sense in life, meaning they're dead, because dry bones are dead bones. A bone that has no moisture to it is a dead bone. People that have dead bones are dead people. They don't understand the scripture. They don't want to understand the scripture. They're too busy with this world. They don't see it. But he says here, thou knowest, meaning God can do anything that God wants to, including change dead bones. Again, he said unto me, prophecy, and that's what this is about, folks. This is about the end times prophecy. Prophecy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And this is like God speaking to the preacher saying, listen, I know that they're not listening. I know they're dead bones. But I'm telling you, you let them know that God said this. These are dry bones that we're talking about. These are dead souls that we're talking about. These are the lost people of the world. Hear the word of the Lord, he said. Even in Revelation it says, what does the word of the Lord say to the churches? Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. You see, the Lord said, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. In other words, he will give you life. He will lift you up. He will give you the life that you need as a Christian. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you. What are the sinews? The sinews are our cartilage, are our muscles, are the things that hold us up, and will bring up flesh upon you. In other words, your bones will become alive. You'll have the muscle. You'll have the strength to stand. You'll be able to breathe. And then the flesh is put upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, you see, dead bones need to be reborn. Excuse me. Dead bones need to be brought back to where Christ wanted us from day one, which is following him, believing in God, and doing what God asked us to do. Behold, he says, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews in the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breath upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. You see, God's going to bring us out of even death. He's going to take us from dead bones, from the graves. He's going to bring us to him together, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions, then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for the house of Israel, companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in the land, or in the hand, rather. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Saying unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. He was talking about two different tribes. He was talking about two different parts of Israel, because some had fled and went into a different portion. And they separated, and they believed differently, and they lived differently, and they acted differently. But he said, I'm going to bring them all together. Understanding, folks, of the scriptures is that he will bring the Gentiles and the lost and the saved and the Israelites all together as one, as his family. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and put them with him, even with the sticks of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before thy eyes, their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side. He says, whither they have, where they've been gone. In other words, where they went to the other side. He will bring them back to Israel. He will bring them back to his land. He will bring them together. And it says that. It says, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. Their own land was Israel. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be one. They shall be no more two nations. There won't be any divisions anymore. There won't be right and wrong. There'll only be right. There won't be Christian and non-Christian. They'll only be Christian. They'll only be Jesus' children. They'll only be God's children. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. Neither shall they defile themselves. Listen to this, folks. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore for their idols, nor will their nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their trespasses or transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. How can we be cleansed if we're sinners? If we're already sinners, we can't. We cannot be cleansed. We're only cleansed because of Jesus Christ. And how has that happened? We are born into Jesus Christ. He cleans us. He purifies us. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto them, Jacob, my servant, wherein their fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yes, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. You see, his sanctuary is going to be here. God's never going to go away. His children will be his. Those that don't want to follow, well, they'll be of another world. They won't be here. He's going to eliminate them completely. And when I say another world, I'm not talking about just in another place. He says he's going to send them to hell, folks. Here's what's going to happen. Those that are false idols, false teachers, those that don't believe the scriptures, those that don't want to hear God, those that don't want to believe. Imagine your family always serving other gods, not wanting to be a Christian, not wanting to know the truth, and teaching you that, and God says, no, that's not the truth. But yet you don't want to hear it. Because you were taught falsely. Well, you know something? Those that are taught falsely, that don't know, God's not going to punish you. He's going to punish the false teacher. They deserve to be punished because they more than likely read the scriptures, knew the difference, and taught differently. And if they were taught differently all the way along, then they won't be the ones held accountable. Because the dead, dry bones are the bones he's talking about. They were dead in their trespasses and sins. They were dead in all that they followed after. It says here, it says that they were going after false idols. He says that he's going to change us. He's going to bring us back from those dead bones and bring us out. Now, I got something I want to read to you. This is part of it, folks. This was just part of it. I just read you the scriptures, and I only got that far. But the truth of the matter is there is much, much more. And the message that I have for you is one from something that I found online about prophecy and that I believe, or I wouldn't share with you. I want you to see this, folks, as much as I can get out to you today, because it's important that you understand Scripture, and it's important that people that don't know start learning to know. Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones, Israel restored to the land. In the book of Ezekiel, the Spirit of the Lord is an active force. Through him, through who? Through Ezekiel. Ezekiel reveals an unseen world. In chapters 8 and 9, Ezekiel is taken from the captivity of Babylon back to Jerusalem to witness the events taking place in secret. He reported how the leaders in Israel were secretly worshiping idols, claiming the Lord cannot see. Doesn't that sound kind of like us? We can go to work every day. We can make all the money we want. God doesn't care about any of that. Yes, he does. Yes, he does, because if you're getting money ill-gotten, or if you're living wrong, I'm not saying that you hold a job and you're living wrong. Trust me when I say that. I'm not talking about that. We all need to pay our way. We all need to have something to eat. We have to be able to survive, correct? But our faith is not in the boss. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. The things we buy, the way we waste our money, be it on alcohol, drugs, and all of those things, you know that, folks. You know those are sins. But he says here, he says, look it. If you're worshiping idols, claiming the Lord cannot see, he can see. In chapter 9, he shows how the angels in the spiritual realm mark those in Jerusalem who will be saved from death when Babylon attacks. Ezekiel, like John in the book of Revelation, is reporting what he sees. You see, if you look at Revelation, John's reporting that. Ezekiel's reporting it in the Old Testament. Ezekiel becomes our eyes as the Spirit of God reveals to Ezekiel future events.
I need to get a sip of water, folks.
My coffee, actually. Thank you. Ezekiel was in the midst of a fallen prophet, or fallen people, the city of Jerusalem, and the temple had just been destroyed by Babylon. Most of Israel and Judah had perished. Those left were survivors. There seemed little hope as these survivors were captive and labor along the Chebar River in Babylon. In this helpless and hopeless condition, like our world, the Spirit of the Lord takes Ezekiel into a vision of the future. At the end of this fallen age, Israel will be restored and be a great nation. Through a vision, God shows Ezekiel how his nation will be one day going to be restored. Then God gave Ezekiel an illustration of the future using two sticks. Ezekiel, take two sticks, he said, one representing Judah and one representing the northern kingdom of Israel. God tells Ezekiel, join the sticks together in his hand. These sticks represent the future union of the divided tribes under the name of Israel. There will no longer be two tribes, but one nation called Israel. The Israelites were taken captive by Assyria, or Syria, in 722 B.C., while Judah was taken captive in 605, 597, and 586 B.C. by Babylon. Now, both tribes were in the same land. Since Babylon defeated Israel, or Assyria, they were in the same land when Babylon defeated Assyria. In the future, the nation would be known as Israel. When they resettle the land of Israel, they would resettle it as one people. Only twice since the Babylon captivity did a Jewish nation exist. Once during the Maccabean period, which is 164 and 163 B.C., and once in our day, in 1948, the current. You see, when in 1948, if you look at the history, the Jewish nation became their own nation. Only in our day did the Jewish kingdom have the name Israel, thus beginning to fulfill the words of Ezekiel written 2,600 years ago. See, God wasn't fooling around. He was going to make Israel his, and he's going to. It doesn't matter what we want to do. It doesn't matter what Assyria wants to do, or Syria, or any other nation for that matter. When they resettled the land of Israel, they would resettle it as one people. Only twice since the Babylonian captivity did a Jewish nation exist. Once during the Maccabean period, it says. That's 2,600 years ago that God said he was going to make this nation. The words of this prophecy will only completely be fulfilled in the millennium, when Israel receives the blessing of the covenant in Deuteronomy 28:1. Now you can go back to Deuteronomy 28:1 and see that covenant. Then the concluding words of this chapter will be fulfilled as the nations will know the Lord is the one who separated and sanctified Israel. And the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel, as I read to you, it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. And that's in Ezekiel 37:1-3. The hand of the Lord in chapter 33, we see the fulfillment of God's word against Jerusalem as a survivor of its destruction that arrives at Babylon, where Ezekiel's words are confirmed. Jerusalem and the temple have been completely destroyed. For the survivors and the captives in Babylon, it might have seemed Israel has caused to be a nation, or ceased to be a nation, I'm sorry. However, God is true to his word. Israel would not cease to be a nation despite its destruction. The Lord is the maker of Israel, the same Lord who with his hands constructed the universe. The same Lord would one day establish the descendants of Jacob again. Here the hand
and the words in Hebrew is Dayad. Power, strength, hand comes from Ezekiel. This term is used 7 times in Ezekiel, meaning the term comes upon Ezekiel, the hand. Brought me out in the spirit, the hand of the Lord and the spirit of God. The hand of the Lord brought me out in the spirit. In other words, God and the Lord led Ezekiel to show him God's work in unison, taking Ezekiel into the spiritual realms. Ezekiel is removed from his physical body and taken forward in time into Israel's future. This was shown to him by a spirit. In Ezekiel chapters 8-11, Ezekiel is before the captives and is taken by the Spirit of God to Jerusalem while his body remains before the captivity. He returns and testifies against Israel's sin in chapter 12-24. In chapters 25-32, he testifies against the nation. Here he testifies how God will bless Israel in the future for the benefit of the nations. Through Israel's restorations, the nations may one day know the Lord. And it says here, he was set down in the midst of the valley. Guess where the midst of the valley is? Right in the middle of all those bones. Ezekiel is brought to the valley. For a valley to exist, you need 2 hills. Since the valley is in the midst, hills are also known as mountains in the Bible. For example, Mount Zion and Mount Moriah are really hills. These 2 hills that the bones are in the midst of could represent the expanse of time between the first and the second coming. During this time, Israel is scattered and broken as a people. For all intents and purposes, they are dead as a nation. Now, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to continue next week about the bones and the differences because I'm running out of time. But I said I would finish this, and I will finish it next week. But thank you for being here, and God bless you. I want to share one more song with you, and then I'll be back. We'll come back to this again next week. Thank you, and God bless you for being here. I hope you'll continue to listen. Let me get back to this. I'm going to do this one song, 1:59, so I'll have a few minutes left. If you're not saved, folks, you should get saved. You should get to know the Lord. When the roll is called up yonder, are you going to be there? Will your name be written in the book of life, or are you just going to be another one of those dry bones where God says, that's one bone I don't want to put back together? Because if you look up the song of dry bones, you'll see it talks about the foot being connected to the ankle connected to the knee connected all the way up to the head. Now, are you going to be part of God's family, or are you going to stay out there a dry bone? Are you just going to be another dead thing?
Folks, I bring you the message every week the best I can. I hope you'll listen. I hope you'll come back and always listen. I'll see you again next Sunday. Thank you for being here. Find me over on Facebook at William Preacher Bill Barnes. Thank you again. God bless you, and have a good Sunday.